I'm Shan Rose. This is Straight From Rose, your front row seat to government, community, and all the in-between tea. Served, informed, not messy. So when it hits your timeline, you say it loud with your chest. You heard it straight from Rose. I'm Shan Rose, and welcome back to Straight From Rose podcast. I just want to take the time to really thank everyone for tuning in to my first podcast. It was a really good session. I've received some great feedback. And so what I've decided to do during the show is when I get in different inquiries from the community, I'm going to read a couple of them. You will remain anonymous, but what I want to do is I really want to spend time educating and showing and empowering the listeners on how government works. So you can send your emails to District5, DISTRICT5@orlando.gov. Again, we will keep your name anonymous, but what we'll do is I'll read your question and walk step by step on how we solved it. If you had something, whatever that may be, pretty sure we could help save others. So today, I'm going to take a little bit of time and I'm going to read a definition. People often ask, like, as a city commissioner, what do you do? What does the government actually do on the local level? So, city government is classified as the administrative body responsible for providing local public services, enforcing ordinances, managing infrastructure such as police, fire, and parks, that's led by a mayor and a city council. And ultimately, we deal one-to-one with the residents, the businesses, we deal with the community needs, the land use and how things are built, and then, of course, the budgets. We manage things like critical services. So making sure you have police officers, firefighters, making sure you have clean water, making sure your dirty water goes in the right places, making sure that you've got great parks and community centers, and then also making sure as you're walking, you have good sidewalks, and as well as when you're driving, there's no potholes. Typically, how the government on the local level at city council is structured, the mayor is in charge, and so he's usually what you may classify as your president and CEO. And then council members, we all are elected by the people to represent different areas of the city of Orlando. So for me, I'm District 5. I've got most of downtown, all the way west to Metro West. And so when people think District 5, typically what you hear is like the Paramore community, but we've got downtown, Paramore, Mercy Drive, Ivy Lane. We've got Timberlea, Vista Lago, and then I've got the whole Kirkman from Owen and Garden Road down to Conroy. And so ultimately, we create policies, rules, regulations, ordinances. And sometimes we may even have to, you know, levy a special tax and put a special tax on something to help make sure we can make things better. And then in other cases, we get to do great things. Like this past week, we voted on something called Orlando Unlocked Open Door Program. So I live in the Paramore community and ownership is really important when we talk about generational wealth, when we talk about bridging the wealth gap in our communities. So the Orlando Unlocked Open Door Program is literally like verbatim what it says. We're opening the door to home ownership. When I moved into the city of Orlando in the Paramore community, we started looking at data. You look at numbers and you look at statistics. And so there's high poverty. And what's important is, do we have the programs and the structures to create long-term wealth? And typically, that wealth is created through owning things, better education, better jobs. So In 2014, we did a vision plan, and I was an employee. We looked at, like, how do we make that downtown Fillmore corridor a better place? And I want to shout out to my coworker at the time. Her name was Kelly Moody. And Kelly said, let's dream big. When you create vision plans, and that's how government functions, we bring in consultants in the community and we say, where do we see ourselves 10 years from now? Where do we see ourselves 20 years from now? And we build out sometimes these lofty dreams. And then sometimes they become reality, sometimes sooner than later. And in the vision plan that we did in 2014, we decided homeownership would be an important piece to build in back the Fillmore community. So when I got elected in 2024, I said to staff, hey, you know, how many vacant lots do we have in the community? And what are we doing to really push to build on those lots? How are we actively looking at increasing the homeownership opportunities? So I'll say this, government does not work as quickly as people think. Imagine, we are in 2026 and in 2024, I asked staff, what can we do to increase homeownership? So we had some planners kind of, you know, you've got to go lot by lot, drive each street, and you kind of map it all out and say, this is vacant, this has something on it. So a year and a half, almost 2 years later, staff was able to go out, survey the entire Fillmore community and identify every single lot that could be built on with a single family home or duplex. So ultimately, what the program does is create an opportunity to incentivize and provide financial assistance to property owners and say, hey, you should use this land, you should build homes, you should sell it. So what we're doing is we're giving an incentive that allows for the property owner to either get an impact fee waiver or to get a permit fee waiver. They will get expedited permitting. And what we also do on the other end is we're providing down payment assistance. The down payment assistance will allow for the potential homeowner to come in and purchase at a reduced rate and help them into success. And so this, you know, there's always controversy about any new program. There's always, a little bit of fear when anything new or any changes are arising. But what I want to let folks know is this is a great opportunity for long term. There's opportunities for individuals to start getting their finances together, start working on their credit, start learning to save, really start getting your life together for what's next. Having a stake in downtown, right? Because Fillmore is part of the downtown Orlando area, whether anyone wants to admit it or not. And so when we look at the opportunities that are on the horizon and really saying there's an opportunity, here's an option for you to live right in the downtown corridor. We've got a lot of great programs, such as something that we have that's called Ride DTO, where you could literally, not figuratively, literally pull up an app and for a dollar you can ride around in the downtown area in a car to get to all of your essentials, whether you're heading to an appointment, you're heading to Publix to go get something to eat, or you're going to catch the nightlife and go catch a show. We are creating a really true, robust system for the community. When we talk about other policies, and you know, I'm gonna take a little bit of time, and I'm gonna jump ahead. I'm actually gonna read a recent email that came in, and I'm gonna break down how my office, and I have some really great staff members. I have my aide, Don Wallace. And I have my media specialist, Kayla West. And we have a really great, strong team that makes sure that your needs are met. Then we have a lot of other departments that answer calls around the city. So a recent call that came in and how we handled, we had a resident reach out. She's experiencing homelessness, and she wanted to know what services are available and how can we help. She has a child. She has a job. She just can't seem to get into housing. So we've got really great policies and programs in place. And so that's what, you know, your local government does. Make sure that your needs are met. So we have a relationship with our local Christian Service Center. And ultimately, we have provided funding. They will do the case management and they will help individuals. So resident reached out, hey, I'm working a job. I just can't seem to get a place. You know, most places now, they require down payment, a deposit. They require first month's rent, and some places even require last month's rent. And so I just need to get on my feet, right? I have a really good job. I can pay my monthly rent. But being able to find, in some cases, and sometimes $4,000 to be able to just move into a place is a lot. So we did the intake and we took her information. We handed over to Christian Service Center. And I say this, you know, she moved in to a place. Christian Service Center was able to provide the resources. But this just shows how government responds, we take tax dollars and we're spending them for the greater good for the community to make sure that we're giving hand ups and being able to help people in getting into the next phase and getting out of whatever they may be facing. I think back to a time when I experienced a stint of homelessness and I didn't know where to turn, right? I didn't know that you could call your local government and your local government has the resources to help you, right? I just thought, you know, I'm supposed to figure this out on my own. So being able to bridge that gap is what's really important and kind of saying what services or what more could we be doing or how do we inform and educate the community about the resources that are available. The role of a commissioner, I'd say it varies. There is no like script and no day to day. No 2 days look alike. You know, sometimes I'll get up and I'm spending time with the kids, or sometimes I'm spending time with seniors, or sometimes I'm in a room having some hard conversations about some policies that I want to see changed. And you know, we'll deep dive and we'll go more into what some of those look like. But I'd say this, the key focus that I make sure I wake up every day is safety. And I keep safety at the top of my priorities because a safe community means we don't have potholes. A safe community means there is no one sleeping on the street. A safe community means we have thriving businesses. A safe community means we have affordable housing opportunities. A safe community means law enforcement answers your 911 call when you call and they show up, you know. And the listener may be like, well, what is she talking about? Well, if you've never experienced calling 911 and having to wait and having to be on hold to get a representative, one of the things we are proud of at the City of Orlando is that we answer your 911 calls and we're getting to your situation and we're coming and we're responding. It's actually like, it's this weird space where, you know, in some communities within the district, some people will say, well, there's too many police officers. And then in that same breath, I'll get a phone call from a resident that says, can you tell a police officer they need to be driving around the neighborhood? So, you know, that's what a potential day-to-day may look like. Like, how do you say, okay, well, there's too many of y'all here. And so I'm going to explain to you, right? When people say that a community feels over-policed, the city studies data, and the data is how we respond to whatever it may be, right? So if this community in particular has too many people and overcrowding of a bus, and I'll use an example, you may create more. But when we talk about like 911, the data and the statistics are available that says we're having more 911 calls in this community, so we need to make sure we have officers available. So what may seem like an excessive amount It's a response to what 911 calls look like. So it's this happy medium balance where it's how do you explain to a community, this is how it functions, this is how it works. How do you explain that what you may want to do is if you feel like you are being mistreated, and it doesn't matter who you're being mistreated by, there's an avenue for that, right? So I think that there has to be, you know, that's what we're going to spend time educating, telling you, like, you may see, hey, there's a road closure. I mean, coming into the studio was a bit of a hassle to come and record this beautiful segment because we're going through trials and tribulations, and the growing pains is what we call them here in downtown. So during the vision plan, it was decided that we would two-way a lot of the streets that are in downtown. So right now, if you go down Orange Avenue, it's one way. Magnolia is one way. Roslyn is one way. And so we did some, you know, analyzing how traffic is flowing in and out. And we decided that, hey, these roads need to be two-wayed. People need to be able to get to the businesses. People need to be able to park. So even coming to the studio, it was a growing pain. The roads were closed. I had to figure out where to park. And then I said, okay, well, how do I get, what is it, sidewalk access? And so those are the things that you will start seeing. And I'd say this, those listening, check out my District 5 page on Instagram or Facebook, District 5, Shan Rose. I'm very intentional on sharing information. If I know about it, you know about it, whether it's a road closure or if it's a scholarship luncheon, if it's a scholarship opportunity. The goal is to make sure that we are transparent and inspiring. There is a program for everything you can think of. And here in government, that's what we do. We make sure all of your needs are met. You know, I'll go back. I'll stick right there with the road closures. Magnolia Avenue is our first starting point of two-way-in streets. And I saw a message and somebody said, oh man, that's my secret hiding parking space. I had to share with them. I said, well, I got great news for you. I'm two-way in it and I'm added more parking. So those will be some of the things that you will see with all of the two ways that we're doing. Magnolia has always been a thought process for the CRA at the City of Orlando. CRA is Community Redevelopment Agency. CRA in the state of Florida is an entity within typically your government, local government, that has done a blight study and has determined where areas need to be improved. It is a very stringent, very strict boundary and guideline and map. It's then given to your county government. They look over the study, the map, and they will set aside a certain amount of additional tax dollars that are used to improve that community in that corridor. So a lot of the work that happens in downtown, you will normally see the downtown Orlando logo. It's a couple of bars. Literally, that's what the logo is. It says downtown Orlando, and it's like four bars. Like, looks like four cell phone bars, actually. And the organization is within City of Orlando government, and we work together to create programming and ways to improve and create a better downtown where everyone could live, work, and play. So Magnolia has always been this thought process for the CRA that it could be the gateway from Dr. Phillips Center into your downtown corridor. So for those individuals who come for different activities at Lake Eola or the Dr. Phillips, they can come down to Magnolia. They can kind of shop. They can have a couple of street markets, et cetera, to be able to really revamp. And it's taken a long time to get here, but we are finally here. So Magnolia will become a two-way. We will move Limo off of Magnolia. It will function on the regular streets. And so you will be able to go two ways and you'll be able to park on both sides of the street, creating opportunities for people to go in and out of businesses, to be able to say, I'm going to pop into, you know, the studio. I'm going to pop into this restaurant or visit one of the law offices. There's a lot of great business spaces along Magnolia, but just being able on one side and to park in and to park your car and then walk has always been a deterrent. I will say this. Downtown Orlando is transitioning into a more walkable destination. So we are really moving into this space where you can walk. So I need us to start getting into this true city mindset and mantra that it's okay to walk 5 blocks to get to your destination. I think, you know, the Florida Orlando has gotten there where you just park and walk, right? You just get out of here. You just get out. And so I guess for me, coming, like being born and raised in Brooklyn, it's like I live in a different space. We take public transportation, you know, we get up and we just go. Sometimes you may walk 20 city blocks and it feels like nothing because it's like, okay, this is part of my destination. So we are moving downtown Orlando into a more walkable city where you may be able to leave Lake Eola and walk 5 blocks to get to your next destination. But we do see for us, which we have, I've actually changed a couple. We do see that there's a lot more in and out of, especially like establishments and restaurants, it's more in and out, you know, whether it's a Uber Eats or it's a DoorDash that's just picking up and going. So we're creating more parking opportunities for people to be able to park and walk our downtown and experience our downtown. So there will be growing pains and we will grow through them together. But that's what your government is here for. We're here to say, how do we make it better? How does the business owner who takes their life savings and pours into their dream, how do we make their dream a continued reality, making sure that their businesses, you know, thrive and excel, which my feature Fridays, every Friday we feature businesses that are within the District 5 community and making sure people know, hey, did you know that we have a jewelry store right here downtown? Shout out to Limitless Jewelers. Did you know, I think every cuisine you could think about is here in the downtown corridor. And so really, truly living in a space where this is an opportunity where you don't have to leave. But that's what your government does, creates policies and ordinances and programs. We incentivize, if you are a new business and you're opening in the downtown corridor, every downtown has some, you know, some things that need to be changed. And when you're a new business owner, if you move into a space, you want to revamp a couple things. And you also may need help with your leasing and your rent. We created programs for that. We have a retail and restaurant program to help with those things. We have a facade program. So if you move into a building and you need to paint on the outside to make it look better, we've got a program for that. That's what your government and local government does. But sometimes, sometimes we have to turn to our friends on the state and federal level. So we expend local tax dollars that we receive from property taxes and different programs that we receive assessments from. We take those and we use those. Sometimes we have to turn to our friends in the state and federal government and say, hey, we've got bigger projects and bigger developments that we need your assistance on. And also, sometimes in our communities, we share roads with our other government entities. So, for example, Colonial Drive, OBT, and John Young, those are all state roads. Those are not owned by the local government. So when we want to do different things on them, such as, you know, repave them, or we want to do more safety improvements, we'll have to work with our other government entities. So, like, that's part of the role is building relationships, having relationships. So while my loyalty always lies with the constituents that I serve, I have to have relationships on the state and federal level. So I'm very cognizant about what those relationships look like and what relationship building, making sure I don't alienate any other elected official because, hey, I may need some federal dollars. I may need some, you know, my congressman may go to D.C. and need some help making sure that, you know, their appropriation gets it through the votes for budget. So that's what a local elected official does, make sure I have relationships from a city perspective, make sure I have really good working relationships with the county and ensuring that, you know, where there might be opportunities to partner and work together, we work with the county, but making sure I'm very in tune with who our state elected officials are and who our federal elected officials are so that we are meeting the needs of the community. So, I mean, I don't think that there's a true day in the life of exactly what a commissioner does, because sometimes I have some really intense conversations. I'd say, you know, Rolling Loud is coming in a couple months, about a 2-month countdown. And one of the things I was able to negotiate is vending opportunities for local businesses. So most folks don't understand how festivals happen. Most festivals are plug and play. They know exactly who they're going to use for a stage. They know exactly who they're going to use for food. They know exactly who's going to sell things. And so they go from one place to the next place to the next place. Doesn't matter where they are. But one of the things I was able to negotiate was the opportunity to have some of our local vendors in the community be a part of Rolling Loud, as well as Electric Daisy Carnival, so that there is a true longstanding economic opportunity for our community. There is, you know, when you think about this is a huge stage. So that's what is supposed to happen. Your government is supposed to work for you, being able to meet the needs, whether it's, you know, on the residential aspect or business aspect, because communities don't thrive without good working businesses, especially, you know, your local grocery store that you go to. The corner store is more in tune with who the kids are, who the adults are, what people are facing. So making sure that the stores and the businesses in our communities, the mom and pops, they thrive is what's important. And, you know, there's a lot to that, making sure people have access to their businesses, making sure that they have resources, making sure that they're advertised and that government gives them that platform to, you know, let people know about them. But I want to thank you for tuning in. Again, the purpose is for us to continue to educate the community on current initiatives happening here in the city of Orlando, talk about some of the priorities that are happening, and, you know, just be transparent, but in an inspiring way. We all have a story. We all have been through some things, and I want to be able to share how what I've been through, I'm using to make the best decisions and policies here in the city of Orlando. So this is Shan Rose, and you are hearing it here first from Straight from Rose Podcast.